For example, as the house has been destructed, an underground laboratory has been found. It seems that there were large tanks with some animals' body parts. There was even a horse head. And then? In the next letters, the detective says he used the contacts he had with the policemen of the city and tried to know more. Detective are often ancient policemen. He confirms the presence of secret services during the affair, and the suspicious death of the boyfriend of the young lady. And? The file ends with a last letter where he writes to Farry Oles, "I heard so many extraordinary things that I prefer to coming to you and tell them by word of mouth." The Refuge of Din. From any side you see this tentacular case, one full on complicated things, expensive and hard to prepare. The text of the first day on Earth gave some indications which could help to localize the cave where the first group of Ummits would have lived in 1950. They precise that this cave would still exist and that they stored the devices of the first expedition. They propose to give them the Earth authorities, the day they will reveal the presence on our floor. The Ummits give a certain number of points visible from the entry of the excavation. It was said to be located in a foothill, not far from the White Horse Mountain. From there one could see two rivers, the Bleone and the Bay, the houses of Lajavi village, Din and its old cathedral, a railroad. Not far from this refuge were growing some plant species called Valeriana gelta and Erica carnea. Fitted with these information, we did different reconnaissance, by foot. The Ummo affair is very stimulating for the intellect, but also very good for health. I would have never done so many walks in the mountains than to try to localize this damned refuge. In some years, Jean-Jacques and I we have climbed all tops of the region, one after the others, included this famous White Horse Mountain, with its 2,000 meter top. We were leaving with a picnic and Jean-Jacques was often walking with his basset hound, Nesta, deceased today. The problem was not to lose the very undisciplinated dog. The task was complicated while Jean-Jacques made a little translation error. The text talked about the Via Ecclesia Romana, what he translated with Old Romanic Norman Church. But at Din, there are two religious buildings, including effectively an Old Romanic church, located at the border of the city. In order to see it, we had to venture on the flanks of the White Horse Mountain, what made us going quite high. But this was not coping with the information concerning the flora, which was also notified. The Ummits said to have found some winged insects flies. The place we were exploring was too high for flies to live there. We had the impression to live a story of Jules Verne and we had a lot of fun. But time went by and we had the impression to turn over and over. Then I read again the texts. "Tell me one thing, Jean-Jacques, what means Romana, in Spanish?" "Romanic, I think. In the dictionary, I see this means Roman. I made then a big mistake. This is the other church, more recent, the one which is in the center of the village. But this sent us in a dead end, this church in on the bottom of a hollow, like the town of Din, which is belted with hills. I do not see from which place one could see it and also all other indicated points. To clear that up, we just have to climb on the bell tower." The priest was quite reluctant. He asked us why we wanted to climb on his church. We of course could not tell him we wanted to localize an extraterrestrial refuge. I do not remember what four excuses we invented then, but he finally gave us the authorization. From up there we had a surprise. There is effectively a hill, the crest moreover lablack, which was visible, between two others, like through the sight of a flint. The day after we took our rucksacks and assaulted this place, which had escaped till then to our investigations, we almost had climbed all other tops. From up there we had the confirmation that all the indicated points were visible, and also the Roman cathedral, as follows. The Ummits texts were saying the truth. Whoever the author of the document was, this way only someone who knew perfectly the topology of this region. Another information confirmed the identification of the place. A text says that the vessel has rematerialized itself, after a voyage in the hyperspace. We will evoke this aspect later, The traveling mode of the interstellar vessels in a point situated at 13 kilometers of Din and at 8 kilometers from Lijv. This was giving two circles which were not fitting. But, by getting more detailed reports, we learned at which altitude the machine had reappeared. It seemed logical it had started to fly down vertically. I did some calculations and found perfectly the coordinates of the crest. Moreover, Lablac. See figure 11. The localization of the landing point and the surroundings of the cave was, however, not precise enough so that we could keep on our researches. We could not dig anywhere. Comment of Rune, well, be sure that the International Secret Services have long ago located this spot and made all traces hidden for normal people to research, as this info on visitors from space is the most important theme to hold secret, so that people are prevented from getting proof for this, and some alternative thoughts to this slave society on our Earth in these times, where the big money people rules over everything. End remark. How do the Amit's text looks like? The contact between Amu and the Earth would have been taken, according to the documents, in two times. After receiving the radio message, in 1949, the Amits would have fraught a vessel immediately and would have traveled towards our solar system. The reader has the right to wonder how are these people doing to travel over the fantastic distance of 15 light years, with MHD magnet or hydrodynamic? Legitimate question. The vessels would be fitted with two types of propulsion, completely different. When they fly in our atmosphere, they would use MHD. But this system is full inefficient in space. First, there is no fluid on which the vessel may act, second, the distances are of another order of magnitude. Moreover, the light barrier forbids to travel in our universe at a speed over 300,000 km per second. This would be in opposition to the special relativity. Comment, all this is on traveling in another dimensions is described in the Calder's material, and to some degree in Swedish, from the contact women Shani West, but they're in a more childish way, Rune remark. Further reading, in fact, if one consider there is only one universe, we found an impossibility and the authors of science fiction who speak of propulsion over light speed are wrong. The Amit's texts from 1967 give two ways of getting rid of this difficulty. There would not be one universe but two. This idea is the basis of all my theoretical articles, reproduced at the end of this book. In the second fold of the universe, the light speed would be 50 times higher. It would be sufficient to go from one side to the other, as we would take the underground subway. They just had to come back in our fold when arrived at destination. This ratio between the two light speed values would vary along the time. So, the gain in time would depend of some meteocosmical conditions. The Amits evoke this phenomenon by speaking of large hyperspace folds. Before leaving, they have to be sure that the conditions are as best as possible, so that the time of travel is not prohibiting. According to the authors of the documents, in 1949, would not have been so favorable, but the Amits, very curious, would have however sent some people to visit the place, taking the occasion of one of these hyperspatial windows. Even with their powerful optical observation systems, through such a distance, they could not have identified clearly all the planets of the solar system. Jupiter had been well localized, but they were not sure of the number of planets. More little, with overlapping signals. The vessels, after rematerialization in the neighborhood of the solar system, would have first explored Neptune and Mars. At this distance from Earth, they would have received lots of emissions from the blue planet, what would have confirmed the presence of intelligent life. They would have stayed in orbit at an altitude of 350 kilometers, and would have done the first bearing. They could then analyze the composition of the atmosphere and establish that it was very near theirs. Despite the large cloud cover over the continents, they would have identified some straight shapes. They would have taken them for canalizations. It was in fact roads and railroads. The texts in italic are the reproductions of some parts of original texts. More on their first landing here. The first terrestrial flying machine detected was a plane, observed at a vicinity of the Bahamas. The picture was zoomed, enhanced and analyzed with curiosity. The descent went on and new pictures were taken, corresponding to urban centers, forests, and floating structures. The first photographs of humans were done vertically from the Swiss agglomeration of Monteiro. The vessel would have then taken some altitude and all these information analyzed. Thought the pictures of human were relatively fuzzy, the differentiation of two genders could have been established on the basis of the presence, for certain individuals, of important mammals. The pictures were not good enough to give details on clothing. We discovered, however, the correlation between the gender and the length of the hairs. Women had a more abundant skull pilosity. The presence of pipes, emitting some dark-colored aerosols factory chimneys was a clue for us. The spectral analysis revealed it emitted some combustion residuals of hydrocarbons. This technology never have been used on Umo, and we believed that this product's weather to increases the components of the atmosphere, facilitating the breathing. This hypothesis was correlated by the observation of such cylinders in the mouth of some individuals, spitting out some chemical substances. But not all inhabitants, particularly children, were equipped with such devices, what puzzled us even more. We were stupefied by the richness and the variety of radio signals we could pick up, and we asked ourselves what language was speaking the peoples of the Earth. Among this jumble we detected signals similar to those which had induced our coming on Earth, and we deduced this must have been a common language to all Earth inhabitants. The things became complicated, as flying over North America we picked up signals corresponding to TV broadcasting that we could not decode and that we understood as spoken languages, what increased our confusion, comparing the signals corresponding to Morse to the radio broadcasting we concluded that the inhabitants of this part of Earth were speaking three languages. The Umits would have gone back home. Fitted with these few information they would have decided to settle on Earth a little group, with the mission of digging an underground refuge and to explore the planet with some miniaturized probes, waiting for the bearing. According to the texts, they overestimated fully our technical capacities and had foreseen the case where these six persons would have been captured by the men of the Earth. A group of six of our brothers had been selected to establish the first vanguard on this new planet, composed of four men and of two women. All of them learned some fragments of the different languages picked up, ignoring completely their signification. The group would have been composed of six persons, four men and two women. Among the men was a specialist for biology of 31 years old, a psychobiologist 18 years old, a specialist in communication 78 years old, and a sociologist, 22 years old. The feminine team would have been composed of a specialist for matter structure, 22 years old, and an expert in pathology of the digestive system, 32 years old. Let the author of the document, who, if one believes him, would have belonged to the first expedition, concerning the most favorable moment for the start, we had not much chances. We were in the end of 1949, in terrestrial time. We foresaw that some years later the conditions would have been much better, but with a very bad probability. The departure decision was taken anyway. But effectively, if we could have started in 1952, our trip would have lasted only 2 months. Our group was bringing a welcome message, written by the authorities of our planet, that we would have given the Earth authorities, in case of our hypothetic interception. This message had been written on a plate made of an alloy of iron, carbon and chrome vanadium. This was a mixture of ideograms showing human gestures and human attitudes, combined with geometric figures, that an Earth scientist, we thought, could have easily interpreted and that would have been a starting point for the communication between our two ethnic groups. The equipment we brought with us was quite complex, with a reduced volume. Arriving in the Earth proximity, we had no idea about the plant morphology and animals we would find there. We knew that the intelligent message we received could only come from beings with human shape. But we did not know, given the great variability of species in function of biogenetic Klaus, like what these people would look like. without data on the planet geophysics, which determine the evolution profile of living species and whose lore we know quite well, we did not know if our immune system could stand the bacterial aggressions. In prevision of such an eventuality, we were clothed with an artificial epidermis, completely different to the clothing used by the Terrians, which allows the sudation without letting chemical and biological products to get in. Near our natural orifices, a series of devices had been placed, adapted to each organ function. Some capsules placed in our nasal fossa assured our oxygen alimentation from the transmutation of pure carbon. Our eyes and mouths were well protected. Our alimentation was given by a device located in the lumbar region and which could push the food through two pipes. The first brought some solid food, with the help of mechanical psyllium, to a hole ending on our inferior lip. The food were contained in some capsules that our spittle could liquefy. This system was controlled by coded signals from the eyelid. It was enough to blink several times with the eyes, with a code the second pipe was bringing liquids. The water was obtained mainly from the recycling of our urine after purification and enriching it with chemicals components. A rectal probe decomposed our stools in basic chemical elements. One part of those were gasified and transmuted into oxygen and hydrogen to synthetize water and compensate the loss to sedation. The rest was transmuted into helium, flowing outside. When we equipped so ourselves, the equipment's are first put in place and the artificial epidermis is sprayed all over the body. We move perfectly free and we can evolve without risk in a biologically hostile area. Such an equipment may be completed with a new layer of metallized plastics, enforced with tiny meshes, which allow us to move in the space vacuum when we visit, for instance, an asteroid with no atmosphere. This clothing is then more rigid but do not handicap our movements. In addition to this individual equipments, we had brought with us some device to synthesize some carbohydrates and other components of our basic alimentation from the gas elements of your planet, in case it would be impossible to ingest yours. We had some apparatus to record pictures and sounds, geologic probes as well as some devices to prepare our defense. This setup was completed with a whole set for making numerous measurements on the floor of your planet. We ignored all the detection devices and remote control you may own. We had recorded your decimetric waves and we knew that those could be used to localize us. In case where we would not have been detected during our landing, we had the order of building an underground observatory and to start from the study of your planet. It was impossible for us to foresee the way the situation would evolve, and which point the observation of the psychological and social structure of Earth would reach. The three vessels composing the Vanguard fleet, with each 12 passengers on board, materialized themselves at 7338 meters high over the chosen landing site, in a semi-wild region. This means where people rarely go, but where we could, with good optical instruments, observed the behavior and habits of the inhabitants of a peaceful city in the south of France. They performed their descent night, the 24th of March 1950, at 4 in the morning, with a quite cloudy weather. The infrared cameras gave a first picture of the surroundings. No human beings could be detected. We checked the floor looking for eventual underground habitations, but this test was negative. The feet of our vessels took contact with the stony floor and the six expeditionaries went out through some trapdoor to take contact with the floor of this planet. We immediately began to dig a gallery by melting the stone and transmuting it into nitrogen and oxygen. In the same time, some parts of the materials found there have been transmuted to transformed in extensible arch structure made of magnesium and aluminium. But this activity was requiring quite a lot of energy. Along the time, as our work went on, the clouds went away and the sun began to rise. We were worried by the idea that the natives could have detected to some distances the steam clouds going up. Happily, no inhabitants of the region noticed anything, and in the morning our work was achieved. Some food supplies were stored in the refuge, giving an autonomy of 1 year, And those who went back home said goodbye to our six brothers who would then live on this unknown planet. The chief of our expedition, with 36 persons, remained anxious. He was worrying that the space window which had allowed the travel could close, shortly that the space would unfold suddenly. Eventually, the six expeditionaries observed the vessels flying rapidly up to an altitude of 6,000 meters, and dematerialized after having heated their surface to incandescence, not to bring home some unknown germs from the twin universe and from the planet they were originated. As the day began, we could observe the surroundings quietly, staying hidden. We knew mostly nothing about the customs of the Earth inhabitants. In the previous weeks we had done many reconnaissances with the help of automatic probes and we had obtained lots of pictures, which remained not understood. In our devices, we had no equipments allowing to catch TV broadcasting, what would have been very useful. On the other side we could receive the flow of radio emissions coming from the whole planet. We began to decode the local languages helped by our computer, but the linguistic diversity of your planet seemed greasy. This part of the texts requires an explanation word. According to the reports, Umo would not have known the phenomena called drift of continents. On Earth, this is responsible for the fragmentation of the initial continent, the Gondwana, and for the reliefs. When the continental plates hit each other, this created folds we call mountains. The Himalaya corresponds to the telescoping of India, which has went away from South Africa and which met Mongolia. The Alps corresponds to the movements of the Italian peninsula, which came rapidly into the rest of European continent. Just look to a map to be convinced of that. If on Earth, the magma became stable and that the movements of tectonic plates ceased, the erosion would let our mountains disappear in some tens of million years. Our continents would become flat as our hands. Any geophysics specialist would confirm that. Umo would not have and mountains neither oceanic deeps, only some rests of volcan very eroded. The Umits gave us by the way a map of their planet, see figure 12. A map of the Umo planet. As indicated in the documents, the big lake, in the middle right, named Orvo Asa, would have a surface of 276.000 square kilometers and would correspond to an ancient meteorite impact. Some planets would have been deeply marked by such traces. The hidden face of the moon, explored by the Soviet Union, presents in its center a huge impact which occupies an important part of its surface. On the Umits planisphere, the circular reliefs would correspond to old volcanoes, but would be very eroded. Nothing to do with what we found on Earth. The sinus lines would be rivers, few kilometers large. The little spots show agglomerations. 27% of the population would live there. We tried to reconstitute approximately the look of this planet, starting from this planisphere. No one can say if these information corresponds to reality or not. But if one suppose it is the case, here is what the Earth expeditionaries would find there. On one half of the planet, we would find a unique continent and on the other a vast ocean. The surface covered by the oceans would be equal to 62% of the one of the planet. Its radius would be about 7,250 kilometers against 6,400 for the Earth. Titanium would be abundant in the floor, with the form of minerals. The gravity would be stronger. If we went on Umo, our weight would increase of 20%. Inversely, the Umits, when they walk on our floor, feel lighter. The Earth is slightly flat on its poles, because of the centrifugal force coming from its rotation. On Umo, that would be the contrary. The altitude on the poles would be 15 kilometers higher than on the rest of the planet. The Umits explain that by the fact that the magnetic field on Umo is quite strong, 1,000 times bigger than the Earth field, 500 Gauss against 0.4 Gauss. The climate will be relatively cold, continental, with big temperature contrasts. The inclination of the rotation axis of the planet is 18% instead of 23% for the Earth. The seasons would be less pronounced. But can we speak of seasons when the planet turn around its star in 2.5 terrestrials months? The local sun, the starry Ummah, a dwarf of class M, would be less hot than our sun, and Ummah would have a smaller orbit. The planet would have no satellites, no moons. The nights would be then very dark and much colder than ours, even at the equator. The night temperature would not go over 0 in degree centigrade. The starry Ummah emits, like all other stars, a stellar wind, intercepted by the magnetosphere of the planet, very strong. The result would be some permanent and spectacular aurora borealis. Believing them, the Ummahites would not stop to stare at the sky, draped with huge colored scarves, which would be a marvelous phenomena, instead of moonlight. The volcanic activity on this planet would have been replaced by emission of methane and panthane subcrystals, which would get inflamed at the contact of the air. These gas would be emitted along vast crevasses, and projected to altitudes from some 100 meters to 6 kilometers. The texts give some precision. These fissures are permanently surveyed. Some spheres full of chemical components and instrumentation are projected all 3 minutes in the bluish burning curtain where they expose like fireworks. One would find on Ummah some meteorological phenomena similar to the one of our planet, with violent sandstorms, in some desert regions, which would erode the stones. The fact that the continent is vast, avoids the oceanic mass to perform a regulation of temperatures and pressures. The night temperatures would be low and the wind frequent and violent, running on the continent, finding no natural barriers on their way. This would explain the aerodynamic shapes of emerged buildings we will see later, and their property to retract in the floor. The primitives' housings would have been, according to the texts, underground. The vegetation, quite different from the one on Earth, would be abundant. The trees, in average much higher than those of our planet, could be compared, they said, to our sequoias. They would have powerful roots and impressive trunks, to resist to the violent winds. The Ummahites said to have been extremely surprised by the altitude and the aspect of our mountains, covered with snow. They would have arranged on their planet some sort of entertainment park where the inhabitants 2 billion could admire the curiosities of our Earth, with a reduced scale of course. The absence of natural impassable barriers would have contributed to the reduction of the number of animal and vegetal species. Furthermore, the intense protection of a planetary magnetic shield, due to a stronger magnetosphere, would have attenuated the mutation effects of the solar rays. All that seems effectively quite coherent. When one imagines the evolution of life on another planet, the scientists have to make a lot of speculations. Our observation methods can't detect any planet other outside of our solar system. Nevertheless, the numerical simulations on computer have shown that we should find numerous planets in our galaxy, with small dense planet, like Venus, the Earth, Mars, made of heavy materials, and some big planets outside of the solar system, made of light materials. If a planet is located to the right distance from its sun so that water is not in a solid state Mars of gaseous state Venus, the life may appear and evolve there. The scientists give the same value as the Ummahites concerning the possible number of systems housing an organized life in our galaxy, 1 million. Same number as in the Ummahite texts of 1967. The Ummahites indicate what could be the fork concerning the planetary parameters which allow, not the appearing of life, but the emergence of humans from a primitive life, surface temporal of the star, between 4278 degrees Celsius and 5888 degrees C. Celsius eccentricity of the planetary orbit, between 0 and 0,1766 day length, 16 hours. Superficial planetary temperature from 32 degrees Celsius to 46 degrees Celsius, in the atmosphere near the ground, 18% oxygen minimum, 65% nitrogen minimum. Intensity of cosmic rays, under 0.48 nucleons per square centimeters per second. As the Ummahite sun would be colder, The planet would have a smaller orbit and the Umet year would be shorter, about 2.54 terrestrial months. Let's come back to the text which evokes the first contact with the Earth. Because of the lack of any natural barriers, there would be on Umu only one ethnic groups and only one language.